Good evening. Good to see each one of you here tonight. Let's all stand together, please. Turn to page 223. Page 223, Standing on the Promises. We'll sing verses 1, 3, and 4 to begin tonight. Page 223. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to Him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily with the Spirit's sword, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises I cannot fall, listening every moment to the Spirit's call, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing on the promises of God, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen.
Well, if you're standing on the promises tonight, say amen. Amen. Sure glad to have you here tonight. This is our oasis in the desert. Amen. And I'll be able to come in the middle of the week and just have some fellowship, sing some songs unto the Lord, and hear the preaching of God's Word. So glad you're here tonight. Glad to have those tuning in. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. I'm going to ask if the birthday boy, Brother Quinlan, tonight, he turned 70 today. And I said, 70 is the new 40. And he said, no, it's not. So, amen. Brother Quinlan, why don't you pray for us tonight, brother? Yes. Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes. Help me, Lord. Yes. Yes. Amen. You may be seated tonight. I do have some announcements wanted to mention tonight. By the way, Miss Elaine Hodges has been handing out the prayer list as she does every Wednesday night. And we have some little bookmark things that we're handing out as well. And it kind of has just everything that kind of our major things that we have going on throughout the year this year. And so if you'd like to get one of them and you didn't, they're right here in the, they're on the table here in the sanctuary as you head out tonight. Make sure, you get one of those. But a lot of folks kind of like to know what's coming up. If you schedule your vacation time or something like that and you want to make sure to do it around, you know, certain things throughout the summer camp, different things like that, vacation Bible school, you can certainly do that. But I would definitely make sure you get one of these and you hear it everything. Amen. Because it's just a real blessing. For the month of February, we do have quite a few things coming up and some changes and different things that we have had to make. And so I did want to mention some of those tonight. Of course, this Friday and Saturday for those married couples that signed up for the couples retreat. Don't forget about that. The Midwest Couples Retreat be here in Overland Park. over at the Doubletree Hotel there off of 69 and College, right in that area there. And so again, the cost is $170. And if you have not paid, please make sure that you turn in your money on that. This next Wednesday night, week from tonight, Brother Eric Watson will be preaching. Of course, we'll be out of town. And then, of course, don't forget about for the Foundation Builders class. If you're in the Foundation Builders class, I believe that's 35 and under. That means Brother Quinlan is not able to be in that class. Amen. But the Foundation Builders class, they are having an activity Friday night, February the 12th. And so if you haven't signed up for that, make sure that you do sign up for that. And then a week from this Sunday, February the 14th, Brother Ben Quinlan will be here. He pastors Bible Baptist Church there in Glenwood, Iowa, of course, out of our church. And up there pastoring, he's going to be here filling the pulpit, as we'll be gone. And then for those that have kids in the school, February the 15th, which is on a Monday, there's no school in light of the holiday. And then wanted to mention this, and this is something that we had to add in, February the 17th, which will be 2 weeks from this Wednesday night, Brother Tim Quinlan will be preaching. And the reason for that is because those that don't know, Natalie's grandfather passed away. And so he went to heaven night before last. And so we've been kind of working on funeral arrangements and things like that. So it's going to work out where we'll still be able to make our trip for our daughter for her senior trip to Disney World. And then we just arranged our flights and we're going to drive up and be there for the funeral that week and then be able to fly back. I'll be flying in Saturday, the 20th, and then I'll be preaching all day the 21st on Sunday. Whether in the body or out, I won't be able to tell, but we'll have a good time in the Lord, all right? But that's how all of that is going to work out. I'm very thankful. I got saved under Pastor Ryerson's ministry, got called to preach under his ministry, and so looking forward to being there and celebrating his homegoing into heaven. So just quite a few things coming up. I did want to mention this tonight, all right? The men's activity that we have scheduled for February the 27th, which is on a Saturday at the end of this month. We always have bacon and bullets, and what that is we just meet at a breakfast place and we go and eat, and then we go to the shooting range. Well, there's just a lot of complications and stuff right now with COVID. And then not only that, but there is a shortage on ammo. I've been hearing guys saying, I can't find any ammo, can't get any ammo, can't. And then guys that do have it don't want to use it. And I understand that. And so what we're going to do, instead of doing all of that, we're just going to have bacon. Men will show up for bacon. So what we're going to do is we're just going to have a men's prayer breakfast. It will be here at the church, and we'll call it bacon and biscuits. All right. And so that way you still get two things, but we can just eat both of these, all right? So it'll be bacon and biscuits. And then, Lord willing, later on, maybe when it gets a little bit warmer, I'm still all for starting the activity sausage and skeet. Amen. So, listen, you some kind of a meat, and then we get to blow something up. So praise the Lord. All right, let's go ahead tonight, and let's get our prayer list out. And hopefully let's bring our minds back from sausage and skeet. And let's go ahead and let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Do have some updates and things. Of course, I already mentioned Pastor Bob Ryerson, family for bereavement. Sure would covet your prayers there. And then we do have quite a few other things that I wanted to mention tonight. Very top of the help list, Miss Carolyn Moore. If you would continue to pray for her, she is still struggling and keeps falling and things like that. Of course, battling the Parkinson's. And so just continue to pray for her. Also, Brother Michael Moore, as he cares for her. And so pray for them. And then also almost down to the bottom there on the first column under the help list, Miss Kathy Chadwick. That's Miss Shelby Dawsing's grandmother. And of course, has congestive heart failure and is under hospice care. And she just mentioned to me tonight that she is declining very quickly. And so I want to ask if we would just make it a matter to continue to pray for her, but certainly more fervently. Do continue to pray for Miss Virginia Potts there in the second column on the very top of the list. She is still doing well. And so praise the Lord for that. She had a triple bypass and is doing good. And so pray for her. Of course, after this, once that all heals up, she'll be able to get the gallbladder surgery taken out, to which I said, after you've already had this done, that won't be nothing. Amen. And but do pray for her, and really enjoyed the visit with her the other day. She just was in really good spirits and thankful for that. Also, we had a couple there at the bottom. Wanted to mention that in the second column that were added on there, that is Morgan Moore. That is Miss Penny Maxey's brother with prostate cancer, and it has spread throughout his body into some places in his bone. And so if you would pray for him. And then also Miss Penny Maxey, if you would pray for her with her knees. And looks like she may very well have surgery in the future, but just pray for wisdom there. Of course, do continue to pray for the COVID-19 stuff. A lot of our people that have been out for quite some time are scheduled to be getting their vaccines. And so just pray for them. Pray God will give them the peace and the guidance and the grace to be able to get back in God's house. Amen. I sure miss them, and I know many of them miss being here. And so pray for that situation. And then wanted to ask if we would add on there the Iris McKinney family for bereavement. Miss Iris lost her husband due to COVID, and that is a friend of Miss Carolyn Moore's. And so if we could add them on there, the Iris McKinney family for bereavement. Anybody have a prayer request tonight or an update or anything like that? Brother Steve? Yeah. Okay. All right. That's Dennis St. John. That's in the second column there, about quarter ways down. And so had the brain aneurysm. And so let's continue to pray for him tonight. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update or anything? Miss Melanie Edler? Yes. Okay. Okay. All right. That's Miss Mary Edler, Miss Melanie's mother-in-law. And so continue to pray for her. Absolutely. Anybody else tonight? Yes, ma'am. Miss McCray. Yes. Okay. 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 Wow. Wow. Praise the Lord. Good. All right. So that's Miss Lewis Nelson's dad. Vic. Vic what? Vic Flickner. Okay. Okay. So it's stomach cancer and now it's spread to the liver. Okay. Okay, so that's Dena Flickner. It's actually on there, Deanna. And I think Brother Moore may have added her on there. I'm not sure who did. Okay, and I think he said Deanna. So it's Brother Moore's fault. It's always Brother Moore's fault. But she's on there for stomach cancer, and so it spread to the liver. Okay, and I'll get her name changed on there. But thankful the Lord knows who she is. So we'll continue to pray for her. And again, that's about halfway down there in the first column, Dena Flickner. And so her cancer is spreading, so remember her in prayer. Brother Waters, you got an update? Got a new car. Amen. So I guess we can take the Waters family off for the car and the deer. And amen. So, amen. So, amen. All right, just put you a big old bumper on that new car. Amen. Amen. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or anything tonight? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Kristen. Yes. Is he still in the hospital? Okay. Okay. And so he's COVID-free now, but still struggling. Okay. Praise the Lord, he got through the COVID stuff, so we'll continue to pray for him. Anybody else tonight? All right, let's go ahead and have our men come tonight. It's amazing how this prayer list has grown in the 3 years that I've been here. But I'm so thankful that we can share burdens tonight as a church family, and we can pray for these things. Amen. And that we do have a God who hears and answers prayer. So that's a real blessing tonight. Brother Will Kennedy, would you pray for us tonight in the offering to follow? Yes. Yes. Brother Wood, yep. Amen.
Most recent update letter from Miss Deborah Anna, our missionary to Honduras. As many of you know, just here a few months ago, I think it's back in October, her husband Steve passed away from COVID and complications with that. She says, she quotes Psalm 31, 14 and 15, "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God, my times are in thy hand. As I've trusted in the Lord the past few months, he has shown me over and over again that my times are in his hands. After I sent out my last prayer letter, I went to Missouri for about 2 weeks to accompany my father while my mother was in ICU and in the hospital. It was a great blessing to be able to visit her in the hospital, pray with her, sing and read verses, and also help her once she was out of ICU. During the other times I'd gone to visit in the year, I was unable to go and visit her in the care center. She is back in the care center now, gaining strength and trusting the Lord. She often repeats, 'I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.' In December, my father had open heart surgery. When he finished his rehabilitation in the care center, I again returned to Missouri to help care for him at the end of the year for about 3 weeks. It was fun to spend time with my two brothers and some of their family as they took turns helping too. Although my father still has some health issues, we praise the Lord that he has gained enough strength to drive again and be on his own. Please continue to pray for my parents. God has greatly encouraged my heart during this difficult time through your prayers and through many cards, love gifts, text messages, video messages, and phone calls. During the time I was in Missouri, a dear friend came for a few days to spend time with me. It was such a blessing to fellowship and pray together. This past year, my father changed his membership to another church. I was able to gain some new prayer warriors in that church as I got to know some of his new friends. It was a blessing to also go visit some of the faithful prayer warriors of his previous church. What a joy it is to trust in God who is answering your prayers. Praise the Lord, my plane ticket has been booked to return to Honduras February 11th. I'm returning with mixed emotions, but excited to soon be serving the Lord there again in person. Pray for wisdom in taking care of many things yet before I leave. Once I get there, I need wisdom in getting involved in the ministry, as there are still many restrictions because of the pandemic. Please pray for wisdom in preparing to speak at a ladies' retreat at a sister church in March 12th and 13th. Once again, thank you for your part in my life and ministries as I continue to trust in the Lord and His perfect timing, for my times are in His hands. Deborah Ann. So, thankful for that update. Continue praying for her during this time, as well as the Douglas family. Many of you would remember they've had a several-month-long process with visas and things like that there in Brazil. And I just got an email from him today saying that they were able to meet with their government and got everything cleared and all their paperwork's gone through, and they finally have their visas the way they need to be as far as residency and all that kind of stuff. So certainly thankful for that news as well. Brother Gary Clark, would you pray for Miss Anner and the Douglases as well as our other missionaries? Stay with me, would you, once again, please, and turn to page 234. Page 234, His grace is sufficient. Amen. We'll sing both verses tonight, page 234.
Many times I'm tried and tested as I travel day by day. Oft I meet with pain and sorrow, and there's trouble in the way. But I have the sweet assurance that my soul the Lord will lead, and in Him there is strength for every need. Oh, His grace is sufficient for for me. When the tempter brings confusion and I don't know what to do, on my knees I turn to Jesus, for I know He'll see me through. Then despair is changed to victory, every doubt just melts away, and in Him there is hope for every day. Oh, His grace is sufficient
Thankful for that, say amen tonight. Praise the Lord. Please remain standing.
Amen. Boy, sure thankful for His grace. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, I want to invite you to the book of Acts again in chapter number 14. The book of Acts in chapter number 14. And again, we are just preaching through this book. I really enjoy this book. It has a ton of doctrine in it. Amen. And not only that, but there are certainly examples of things like the very first churches and early churches that you and I can look to. And man, I'm telling you, I think that's the way we ought to find a church home. Is it one that lines up with this right here? Amen. And just a real blessing. But tonight we are continuing on. We're kind of right there in another first, and it's actually the very first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And so Acts chapter 14 tonight, in verse number 8, the Bible says this, "And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked." Okay, and so again, this is validating his condition here. And notice it says, "The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed." It's amazing what the countenance of men can reveal. Amen. At least he was awake during the message, right? And so verse number 10, it says, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Now, my friend, you understand that is the power and grace of God right there, because Even in our day and time, when something like a medical miracle would take place and would allow someone to be able to walk again, they have to go through all kinds of therapy and things like that. But when God does it, you don't need any of that stuff. You just get up and leap and walk. Amen. But notice what happens in verse number 11. "And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, 'The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men.' And they called Barnabas, Jupiter, and Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles, Barnabas and Paul, heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, 'Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without a witness, and that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And when these things scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them." And so you understand tonight, God speaks to the heathen through creation. And no doubt that is what Paul is dealing with there. Now, if you'll notice something about this, and this is what I thought about tonight as we get into this, if you'll notice, there's something different about their arrival into Lystra. And what I mean by that is this, is that as they went into other cities on their first missionary journey, their custom or manner was to go into the synagogue of the Jews and begin to preach the gospel. However, here in Lystra, they don't do that, probably because there is no synagogue. It's a Gentile city. So what Paul does is, well, he preaches the gospel, but then he heals a crippled man. And so what happens is this, well, they think, the Gentile people, they think, well, this is Jupiter and this is Mercurius. In other words, this is the Roman gods of mythology. This is Zeus and this is Hermes. Now, here's what I want us to see tonight. When giving the gospel in the other cities, the religious Jews clung to their religious works. But now you have the Gentile people, and where the religious clave to their works, the Gentiles clave to their idols. And you know what? Because of that, they almost missed out. Really, some of them did. They missed out on what God had for them. Folks, it's no different with us today. We be Gentiles. We still have idols. And if we're not careful, they can cause us to miss out on what God has for us. I'm going to preach tonight on the idolatry of the Gentiles. But may we be reminded tonight and warned tonight, there's just one God. And He ought to be above everything and preeminent in our lives. Father, thank You for the Word of God tonight. Bless the preaching. Sure thankful for these folks being here tonight. Would You bless them, Lord, for it. Speak to us tonight. Have Your will in way in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated tonight. After Natalie and I had been married for a couple of years and Madison had just been born, I decided to take up the hobby of golf. It's a good way to start out a message talking about golf. I actually already had a boat, and we were there in Florida, and so I was fishing, and then I had a rifle, and I was hunting in the winter. And so I grew up, though, playing sports, every sport under the sun, and so I decided, man, I think I want to play golf. And so I started playing golf, too. Now, I had all these different hobbies, and so what I had to do is I had to start making some decisions. And so because of my love for sports, I decided to get rid of the boat, and then I decided to get rid of the rifle, and I stuck with golf. Now, some of you may not like that decision, but I did like that decision, all right? But here's the thing. I didn't just play golf a little bit. I played golf a lot. I mean, I went all in, and I started playing all the time. I became basically a golf addict. I was working welding for a living, and I'd get home in the afternoon and from work, and I'd go straight to the golf course and I'd practice or I'd play except for Wednesdays because you had church. And then I'd play on Saturday, and then I would do something very wicked. I'd try to squeeze in around Sunday afternoon in between the morning service and the evening service until God convicted me about that. It consumed, listen to this, it consumed my thoughts. It consumed my life. When I wasn't playing it, I watched it on TV. Amen. Pray for my wife. It consumed my finances. It controlled my attitude. When I had a good round, I was very happy. When I had a bad round, I was not very happy. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is this, I had an idolatry issue. I'm sure you've never had this before, but I had one. Finally, I began to see, though, how it was controlling me. It was consuming me, especially my attitude and those kind of things. And so I can remember one day coming home in the afternoon, and I took my clubs out of the back of my pickup truck. I had a toolbox that I kept them in. I took them out, and I took them, and I set them in the hallway closet of our house, and I said this, I remember saying this, until I can learn to control the game instead of the game controlling me, I'm not playing anymore. And I did. I didn't play for several months, and in fact, I still treat golf that way today. I have the mindset of that it is not going to control me, I'm going to control it, because really it's just a game. But at the same time, I know men who still live like that today. I know men of God who still live like that today. Obviously, the reason I'm telling you all of this tonight is to illustrate the issue of our text, which is idolatry. And as we get into this tonight, I just want to give you a couple of principles regarding this subject. Number one tonight is this. We do have idols. Let me say that again. We do have idols.
See, the great danger for us tonight is to disregard this subject because, well, I don't worship Zeus or Hermes or mythology or whatever the case may be. Or even we would look at this tonight and say, well, these people were barbaric or they were ignorant and those kind of things. That's why they were doing what they were doing. But we are not that way. Listen to me tonight. We may not bow down to little figurines made of stone or wood. And we may not pray to our ancestors, but I'm saying to you tonight, we do have idols. We do have idolatry. Friend, listen, idols are anything that we put before God. It's anything. If that's what God said when He first gave the Ten Commandments, He said, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." And I realize He is talking about in His sight there, but at the same time, even sometimes things that are good and okay, we put them ahead of God, my friend. That is an idol. That is an idol. Listen, we may say tonight, well, I don't bow down and I don't worship them. Well, you need to catch this tonight. The biblical definition of worship is to ascribe worth to. And I'm just saying to you tonight, friend, when we devote more of our time to those things instead of God, you've got an idol on your hand. If you listen, if it fills your thought life rather than God, then you've got an idol on your hand. If it controls your attitude rather than God and His Spirit and His Word, then my friend, you have an idol on your hands. So yes, we do have idols tonight. But here's the second thing tonight that I want to give you. Idols can be something okay in and of themselves. See, again, this is another great danger that we have because we have things that are good and okay in and of themselves, but yet they are an idol, but we begin to justify them in our lives when the reality is this, if they are before God, then my friend, they are not good anymore. Golf is okay, nothing wrong with having a hobby, man, nothing wrong with doing those things, but if it comes before God, there is something wrong with it. Do you see what I'm saying? And you got to understand this tonight. Listen, we exalt it before God, and it becomes something that is not right in our lives, and causes us to not have right fellowship with God. Think about some of the things tonight. And again, we could sit here tonight and talk about all the things under the sun that men chase after today. What about jobs? Nothing wrong with jobs in and of themselves. Listen, I think it's good for a man to work. Somebody say amen tonight. Listen, it's right. It's Bible to provide for our families and those kind of things. And it's a sin to be lazy and to not work and to live off of the government and those kind of things. But at the same time, friend, you have to be careful that your job doesn't become your God. But God still, listen, that God is still your God. What about material things? Again, nothing wrong tonight with having a house or cars, clothes to wear, so on. Nothing wrong with those things, but yet at the same time, these things can consume some people. Listen to this tonight. There are a host of people in our day and time, including God's people, that find their self-worth in those things. What kind of clothes they wear, what kind of vehicle they drive, what kind of house they live in, how much money is in their 401k account, whatever the case may be, this is what determines my worth rather than Christ determining our worth, see? What about technology? Well, this is a big one in our day and time. Listen, some people are so consumed by their phones. Yeah? Some of you, listen, you can't even put it down in church. Got it right there. Listen, computers, TV, social media, tablets, games. Hello? It's getting quiet. It'd be quiet in here, but you know I'm telling the truth tonight. You don't think it's an idol, my friend. Let me challenge you with this. Put it away for a couple of weeks. Well, I can't live with... Then it's an idol. Hello? I'm just telling you, friend. Some of you, listen, you doing this right here, you could be, you know, you could be a contestant in the thumb wrestling championship of America right now. You don't even know what that is. That's back in the good days when they had real games. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, now I declare a thumb war. And I was trying to help you tonight. Good night, mercy. What about family? What about children? Well, wait a minute, preacher. No. Family and kids are certainly good. Praise God for them. But you understand, friend, I've witnessed people exalt their family or their children above God. That's become... And let me help you with something tonight, friend. Dogs and cats and pets, those aren't your children. That's just weird. Sports teams. Oh, I knew you was going to get there, preacher. Got like this big game that people have been talking about. And I'm just saying to you, listen, but let me help you with something. Sunday's the Lord's day. It is God's day, my friend. And you listen, and we, and again, and I said this Sunday morning, and I say it tonight, we're not adjusting our services for some sports game. No, we're going to honor God, my friend. That is idolatry. That is idolatry at its core, my friend, to do something like that. Now, here's one. What about politics? Well, now we're meddling, aren't we? Listen, we got people leaving churches today over masks. That's idolatry. Here, let me help you with this tonight. You want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Praise God, we still live in America. We don't live in China. Yeah, you understand? Listen, we've got the constant political garbage on social media. Oh. I can remember back when things like Facebook and stuff like that was to share pictures of your kids and the blessings of God in your life. And now it's just one Hey, listen, I wish God's people were more fervent to give the gospel on social media than they are to let everybody know where they stand politically. I had to get off of it because if I want to read this garbage over and over again, I'll turn on the news and I don't even like the news anymore. You understand what I'm saying to you? Listen, it's an addict and it's idolatry and all of that. Listen, what about race and the color of one's skin? Because that too has become idolatry today. Where it's a white church or it's a black church. No, this is the Lord's church. Doesn't really matter, friend. Get over it. Well, it's about this. No, friend. I'm just telling you, we need to view things based upon the Scriptures, not our political agenda, not the color of our skin, not anything else under the sun. No, my friend, that is idolatry. In fact, at least you start talking about stuff like this and people, well, it's a white guy talking about it. Well, so what? But see, that just reveals our own idolatry. And again, listen, I could sit here all night and name stuff that people just are consumed with. It's an idol. But the point is this, my friend. We must acknowledge that we are a Gentile people tonight and we still have idol issues in our day and time. And then we see the lessons from our text tonight. And listen, I'm telling you, let me just help you with two things tonight. Number one, make sure you are saved. And number two, keep Him preeminent. Keep Him first place in your life. That's really the message in and of a nutshell. Number one tonight, I want you to see the caution of idolatry. And this really covers verses 8 through 13 down there. And I'm not going to read all down through here again because, as already mentioned in verses 8 through 10 there, the Apostle Paul, he heals this crippled man in Lystra, and then in verses 11 and through 13, the people of Lystra, they immediately assume that, well, our false gods have come down among us in human form. Well, no, there's one true God, and He manifested Himself in the flesh, and His name is Jesus Christ. See? But they begin to call Barnabas Jupiter, as in Zeus, and Paul Mercurius, as in Hermes, and though Paul is the one who healed the man, it's because he was also the one speaking. And so, well, they assume he's Hermes. But the point is this. Because of their idolatry and because of their idolatrous mindset, they stood in danger of two serious things. Number one is this. They missed the message of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you catch this, but go back to verses 6 and 7. We actually looked at this last week. But notice it says in verse 6, they were aware of it, speaking of the persecution in Iconium. and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities in Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there, now notice this, they preached what? The gospel. Well, they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then now you have Paul beginning in verse number 8. He heals this crippled man here. And you understand that that was meant to validate these men of God and their message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? It was meant to demonstrate the power of the gospel. It was meant to be a picture of what Christ could do for them. Hey, listen, friend. Just as this man was healed physically, Jesus Christ can heal you and me spiritually. Somebody say amen tonight. That was the whole idea here. This is exactly why Jesus Christ done the miracles He did during His earthly ministry. Go back with me tonight in Matthew chapter number 9, just very quickly. I want you to see this. I think it's important that God's people would understand this tonight. Because we'll deal with some things later on down through here about this. But I think it's important you and I tonight see what the Bible says. It says in verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 9, it says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But, verse 6, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house." See, listen, He's God because He knew their thoughts and their heart. Well, come on, but He's also God, friend, because He healed this man with the palsy. And you understand, friend, the reason that He done that was to validate that He is the Savior and that He has the authority and the power to forgive sin. It was a picture, my friend, to show what Christ could do for all men spiritually. What I'm trying to get across to you tonight, though, is that, go back to Acts chapter 14, they missed the message. Come on, let's wake up tonight. Hey, listen, he had just preached the gospel. And then he heals this crippled man. Come on, this guy had been crippled from his birth. And he's getting up, and he is walking, and leaping, and shouting for joy. I mean, I know it doesn't say it, but let's face it, he probably was. Not like we would. Yeah, no, we wouldn't do that. We're Kansas, and we're too reserved to do. Yeah, man, he got up, started hollering. I'm sure he did. And they were so caught up in that, well, this is Jupiter and Mercurius, and they missed it. Because of their own idols. And you and I need to understand something, friend, that, listen to me, that is still happening in our day and time with idolatry. We've got to be aware of something tonight, friend. Go with me to 2 Corinthians and hold your place there in Acts chapter 4, or Acts chapter 14. Go with me to 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. I want you to listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now you understand that's a Gentile church right there. But what I'm trying to get across to you tonight is that, folks, we have got to be reminded that the devil is not sitting in hell somewhere on a throne wearing a red suit and holding a pitchfork. You understand, he's the prince of the power of the air, meaning this, that he is very much active in this realm. And that he is using the world and the flesh and idolatry to keep men blind from their need to be saved. And that is exactly what happened here. Listen to me tonight. He still has man confused with the false gods in religion of this world today, much like in our own text. But you need to understand something tonight. There's only one that rose from the dead. There's only one who died for our sins, was buried for 3 days, and rose from the dead. Listen, demonstrating that He is God, but also bearing the authority to grant eternal life and forgiveness of sins. And His name is Jesus Christ. And my friend, men are caught up in all kinds of nonsense today. And here's another big religion, atheism. Well, wait a minute, that's not a religion. Yeah, it is a religion. And men worship, because here's the deal, man's just become God, not God. But I'm telling you, my friend, listen, you can spout off all the stuff, you can Eastern culture and Western culture and Muslims and Mormons and anything else under the sun. But listen to me tonight, there is only one that rose from the dead, and His name is Jesus Christ. And you sit here tonight and say, well, there is no God. Well, then how do you explain an empty tomb? You better come up with something good. Don't give me this, well, the apostles stole His body. They've done that in the Scriptures, and that was proven not to be true. Yeah. Can I say to you tonight, He still has man self-focused. All the stuff that we mentioned earlier, friend, men are consumed with it today. In our day and time, friend, listen. And while some things are good in and of themselves, I understand that, friend, and I realize that. But listen, what difference does it make when you live for those things, but yet you're blind to your need to be saved? And I know it's a no-brainer tonight, but all that money and material gain that we live for, listen, it's not gonna, you can't take it with you to heaven. Like this old man that worked all his life and saved all his money, and he was a real tightwad about everything, and he loved money more than just about anything. And just before he died, he said to his wife, now listen, honey, when I die, I'm taking all my money with me, so I want you to put it in the casket with me, because I'm going to take it to the afterlife. So he got his wife to promise her with all her heart when he died, that she's going to put all that money in the casket. Well, one day, guess what? He did die, because every man dies. And he was stretched out in that casket, and there was his wife sitting there in black next to her best friend. And when they finished the ceremony, just before the undertakers got ready to close the casket, the wife said, wait a minute. And she had a shoebox with her. And she walked up and put it in the casket. Then they closed the casket and rolled him away. And she sat back down, and her friend leaned over and said, I hope you wasn't crazy enough to put all that money in there with that stingy old man. And she said, yes, I promised. I'm a good Christian. I can't lie. And I put every bit of that money in that casket with him. And she said, you've got to be... She said, I sure did. She said, I got it all together. I put it in my account, and I wrote him a check. Smart woman. Now that's funny, but truth be told, men still live that way today. They may not, they may not admit it such as that man did right there, but they still got that attitude about them. So consumed with the temporal, they never deal with the internal. And what I'm saying to you tonight is this, listen to me, don't let that happen. You make sure that you know Christ as your Savior tonight. Let me give you something else that they did. I think this tonight, they multiplied their idols. And what I mean by that is this, is that as they heard the gospel and then they saw the miracle of the crippled man. Now listen, there's nothing about the gods. I don't know about all that stuff, but here's what I think. I think this. I think they added Paul and Barnabas and their message right in line with their false gods. And listen, and that... That's still what many do today. In fact, missionaries who go to polytheistic cultures, meaning this, that there are multiple gods, places like India and Taiwan, those kind of things in the Eastern culture, they have to be careful of this when they're preaching the gospel, because the tendency is this, is that when folks like that hear about Christ and hear about the resurrection in the gospel, well, what they do is they just add Him in. right along with all their other gods. And my friend, that's not how this works. There is one God. And in order for man to be truly born again, he must come to Christ and Christ alone. It's not about adding Him to something. The truth of the matter is, though, even we can be guilty of this. Come on, think about false religions of today, even within Christianity. They've done this. Catholicism has done this. They mixed a perverted form of Christianity right along with paganism, and they've created multiple idols. Works like sprinkling, the Lord's Supper, church membership, those things are made sacraments, meaning a way of salvation. My friend, that is idolatry in a nutshell. Because you understand, friend, just as the crippled man pictures what Christ in Christ alone can do, well, so too does scriptural baptism or observing the Lord's Supper. Those things don't save a man. They merely picture who can save a man. The worship of Mary or their so-called saints. You understand, friend, that to be a saint according to the Bible just means this, you be saved. You're a saint. But their so-called saints and ancestors and praying to them and worshiping them, listen to me, that is idolatry. There is one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Now, no doubt, listen to this, with the healing of the crippled man, most likely some of you, as I did, thought about the charismatics right here in our day and time. And by the way, the basis of their whole religion and theology, it is idolatrous in nature. I'm just getting kind of quiet in here. Oh, it's just good people caught up in bad doctrine. Listen to me, and here's why. Because it exalts experiences over the Word of God. Even to the point of charlatans in our day trying to imitate what the apostles did in the Scriptures right here tonight. Healing of a crippled. Well, let's get a guy, pay him a little, wheel him up here. We'll, whatever. It's a bunch of baloney. Well, preacher, I mean, I just know what I experienced. I've had people tell me, well, listen, if it's against the Word of God, then that wasn't of God. Well, I just know it was of the Holy... No, because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God don't work differently, my friend. Listen, I'm just telling you tonight, you better be careful about this stuff that causes you to roll your eyes in the back of your head and flop around like a fish and utter some gibberish nobody knows about. That ain't of God. No. Well, I mean, we spoke in tongues. Well, that's not the tongues of the Bible, because tongues in the Bible were a known language. How come in Acts chapter 2, every man heard the gospel in his own tongue? Tongues in the Bible is like me speaking Spanish tonight, though I don't know any of it. Well, I do know donde está el baño. Where's the bathroom? That's important to know. Men are exalted rather than Christ. Good people are turned away from sound doctrine and substance and instead chase after emotionalism. Even the Holy Ghost is elevated to a place that He doesn't desire to be according to the Scriptures. Listen to me tonight. The role of the Spirit of God is to draw men to Christ. He doesn't want to be exalted as Christ. He doesn't, even Christ would say in the Gospel of John, He doesn't want to speak of Himself. He wants to speak of Him. Folks, what I'm saying tonight is this. Listen to me. That's out of order. That's idolatry. But even us who have sound doctrine can be guilty of these things. Listen, we exalt men to a place where only Christ should be. Please listen to me. I love being the pastor of Faith Baptist Church, but I'm not Jesus Christ. I can't save you or anybody. By the way, neither was Pastor Emeritus Watson. And you better be careful about putting men on a pedestal. Listen to me. You better be careful about wanting me to be like the previous pastor, because I'm not. No. I love Pastor Watson dearly, but I'm not Pastor Watson. I'm Wes Stewart. He's from California and I'm from Florida. Man, that's that's different. You better be careful about determining your church membership on a pastor. You better go where God wants you to be. You better be careful about determining your church attendance on the preacher. Because he's going on vacation here in a little while. And I don't put God in my pocket and take him with me. Kind of scares me when I get to the end of the year and do the business meeting. And the Sundays that I'm gone, I look at the attendance and we drop from 120 to 45. I'd say maybe we got a bigger idol issue than what we think. We can even do this with Jesus Christ. Listen, we live for the things of this world throughout the week, and then we pop in on Sundays like we're giving God the glory in our lives. But I'm going to tell you something, that's not how it works. Listen, that He doesn't deserve to be added to all of our stuff. He deserves to be the one we live for. And I'm telling you tonight, listen to me, when we live like this, are you catching this? When we live like this, we may have the eternal life issue settled, but we're missing out on the abundant life that we can have. Now, let me do the second thing, and I'm through tonight, because I like this, because really it's the cures for idolatry. Look at what happens in verse 14. It says, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. In other words, man, some of them wouldn't listen. But it's interesting, if you go back up to verse number 11 there and read that, you'll see this, that they sang in the speech of Lycaonia. And so when they exalted Paul and Barnabas as their false gods, they did it in the language of Lycaonia. And so therefore, it's most likely that Paul and Barnabas didn't understand what was going on. They're probably thinking, well, they're really excited about this guy getting, you know, this crippled guy being able to walk again. Everything's going great. But there in verse number 14, where we started reading, they figured it out. Rather than let it go, it says Paul and Barnabas, it says they rent their clothes. And what that means in the Jewish culture is this, that's a sign of mourning. You know why? Because they missed the most important message. And so they run into the people and basically they begin to give them really the cure for their issue. And it's the same cure for our issue. Here's basically what they're saying. Number one is this, put things back in their proper order. Come on, look at what he says in verse 15. Saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passion with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Notice, I mean, number one, he's saying this, hey, put men back in their proper order. Paul and Barnabas were men of like passions as they are. In other words, here's what they were. They were a bunch of sinners. The only difference is this, is that they served the living God and they were saved. That's the only difference. It was God that made the difference, not them. It's no difference when we get men out of order. Hey, listen, there's a balance to this whole pastor thing. Yes, he's to be respected as the man of God. Yes, pray for him. He needs it. Pray for his wife. She needs it. Not just because of him, but because of ministry. Pray for his family. Support him in God's calling on his life. Love him, love his family, encourage them along, and praise God that this church does those things, but do not exalt him as God. He's just simply the messenger. And by the way, it's no different with family. Yes, praise God for family. Even the 4-year-olds. Told Emily tonight, she was going to her class, and I said, no talking and no touching. And somebody said, is that work? And I went, no. I want you to listen to me tonight. Listen to this. Family is not meant to be a competition with God. It is completed by God. You want your family to have the blessings and the grace of God on it, then put it back in order like it's supposed to be and put Him at the top. And in fact, notice that, I mean, that's the other thing here that he brings out is he says, put God back in His proper order. Well, what's His order? Well, it's first place. And notice that Paul and Barnabas not only wanted these people in Lystra to put them there in their place, but God in His proper place. No doubt He made heaven and earth and the sea and all things therein. Hey, He is Creator. He is above all things. I like verse 16, who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. You know what that means? He is merciful. I like verse 17, nevertheless, He left not Himself with witness in that He did good, gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. You know what that means? He is good. He is good. He is merciful. He is sovereign. He is God. He is holy. He is high and lifted up. He ought to be first place, my friend. And Paul is saying, put Him back in His place. Listen to me tonight. That isn't done through just talk. You know, we got this simple, well, I just love God, preacher. I get what you're saying tonight, and I just love God, yet you live like the devil Monday through Saturday. My friend, it doesn't work that way. You want to love God, then Jesus said this, then obey My commandments. Demonstrate it. Talk is cheap when it comes to spiritual things. This means we ought to be in church when the doors are open, when He's first place. Yeah, we ought to give of our finances, our tithe and offerings and missions, and we ought to walk with Him in His Word and in prayer. And we ought to witness to others of His love and His salvation. He ought to be the head of this church. And He ought to be the head of our marriages, our families, our homes, and yeah, our personal lives. That's where He belongs. But you know, there's something that goes along with all this. Look at verse 15 again. He says, and saying, sirs, why do you these things? Ye also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God. See, the second part of this cure, well, it goes right along with the first one, because how can God be preeminent in our lives when other things have the affections of our hearts? It doesn't work that way. I love that Paul and Barnabas call them vanities. Vanities. You know what that word means in the Bible? Empty. Empty. You know why? Because that's exactly how they lead you when you live for them. But if you want joy, marriage, there can be joy. Relationship with your children, there can be joy. Joy in church, joy in the Christian life. Well, preacher, you don't understand what's going on. No, but you still have His joy. If you want peace, you want satisfaction. You want abundant life. Put away the idols. The empty. Put those things away. Let Him have your thoughts. Let Him control your attitude. Let Him lead you and guide you in decision making. Is anybody getting this? Be in His presence and in His power throughout the day. Oh, my friend, you'll find the one who satisfies the soul and does far more than any of this stuff out here. Listen to me tonight. I'm not going to ask you if you got any idols tonight. What's your idol? Because truth of the matter is, we all got them. We can all be quiet and go, yeah, preacher, you got that golf thing, man. You got issues. We all got them. We all got them. But I do want to ask you this. You willing to lay them down and put him in the proper order that he belongs in your life? Because if you don't, you miss out. You miss out. Let's all stand.